Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
We're going to start off today in Psalms chapter 1. You can turn there, and then we're going to jump to Psalms chapter 119. We're going to be spending most of our time in those two chapters of Psalms. So, chapter 1 and chapter 119. We've started a series, just a small series, on wells that sustain. The first well that we looked at was the well of worship. That's right. Duane reminded us of that today. The well of worship. And the idea of wells is that if you look at the Old Testament, digging wells was crucial. In fact, you read through Genesis and Exodus. As it went from place to place, it was important that they would dig wells, especially in areas where there wasn't fresh water. If you wanted to live in the land, you had to have a well to draw the water out of. Now, there could be water just below your feet, maybe just a few feet below you, or maybe 50, 60 feet below you. But if you didn't have a well, you had no means to draw that water. All right? And we have that same thing here just along the Platte River. Okay? You have all these corn crops that are out there that love water, and all the water in the Platte River does those corn plants no good unless they put in irrigation, right? They stick down those, I'm thinking of the correct terminology here. Yeah, they put a pipe, but what do you call those? The hub. The pivot, there you go. You put in your pivot there, center pivot. You put that down, taps the water, and it distributes it to the cornfield. The water's there, but we have to have a mechanism, a way to get that water to where we need it. You know, as we drive down here or drive down the road, you know what? There is radio frequencies all over. Not just one, but a lot of different ones. Now, if you have a radio, you can turn those stations in, right? And listen to them. But if you don't have the proper equipment, you're not going to pick up any radio station. You have to have a radio. We have Wi-Fi here, okay? But you have to. You can't just kind of pull it in just by thinking hard, can you? All right? Some of you are gifted, but I don't think you're that good. All right? If you want to bring in that Wi-Fi, you have to have a phone. You have to have an iPad, a computer that can log in and access that. In the same way, God's everywhere, isn't he? He's spirit. Okay? He is everywhere, but we need mechanism, we need wells to experience and to know God. You think, no, you don't. And yeah, you do. Because God is everywhere. He's throughout Crete. He's everywhere. But there's a lot of people out there that don't have a relationship with God. And God is just coming by them. He's spirit. He's coming right by them. He's in their house. He's wherever they're at. And guess what? They don't know God. They haven't experienced God. They have no relationship with God. Why? Because they don't have a well. They don't have a mechanism in which they can know God and they can experience God. And so we're looking at wells in which we can get to know and experience God that refresh us, that keep us in communication and fellowship with God. So the first one is worship. The second one I want us to look at today is found in Psalms chapter 1 and in 119. So let's look at those together. We'll look at the second one here. Psalms chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." Now, the law he is talking about was probably dealt with the first five books of your Bible, because that's all they had. Okay, and then they had some of the prophets. They did not have the New Testament. They didn't have much of what you would consider the Bible. But what they considered the law were the first five books of the Bible, which are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy meaning second law. That was the scripture. That was their Bible at that time. So, the man that delights in the law of the Lord and he meditates on that day and night, he is like a tree planted by the desert. Is that what it says? Planted by streams of water. Similar to a well. And it yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Father, we ask the blessing over your word. I pray you take it and apply it to our hearts this day. In your holy and precious name we ask. Amen. The first well we looked at is worship. The second one I want us to look at is God's word. That is the second well by which we come to know God, experience God, have fellowship with God, draw strength from. And so the first thing I want us to look at, and the first point in your bulletin there, is delight yourself in the word of God. That's what the psalmist did, right? His delight was in the law of God. What does it mean that you delight in something? What does it mean that you delight in it? Well, I remember going back a few years. It was back in 1986. And I went to Bible college. And I happened to meet a young lady, a professor's daughter. She was my roommate kind of liked her. And she was a friend of my roommate. And I had a girlfriend. And but over that course of that year, I broke up with my girlfriend, and I started hanging out more with this other girl, and her name was, anybody want to guess? And over that year, we began to take walks together, hang out together at the cafeteria. She'd come and eat with the college kids. We weren't dating. Okay, but over time, she became my delight. Somebody I enjoyed hanging out with and spending time with. And eventually, that turned into a dating relationship. And, you know, the rest is history. But she became my delight. Actually, she chased me, I think. But it was mutual. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Word of God? If we merely see the Bible as a book on a shelf or any other piece of literature, you know, and there are people that do. There's people that teach on the Bible. They even have Bible classes, but they only see it as literature, okay? Poems or certain history. But the Word of God is to be our delight, something that we want to meditate to get into our heart and our life that becomes part of us. And if we do, like the psalmist, it will be something that allows us to connect with God, and it actually becomes a source of life to us so that we can know God. It becomes our delight. Now, when I started dating Amy, I didn't think, well, you know, I need to set aside 10 minutes today, you know, that I have to spend with Amy, and I need to have a date with her this week. And I didn't do that. I get to, right? I was looking for all sorts of, man, maybe I can change this up. I need to get my homework done so we can go for a walk tonight, right? Are you getting my drift here? It wasn't a chore, wasn't it? It wasn't a duty. And often we approach reading God's Word like it is a chore or it is something that we have to do. Now, it is something that we need to do, folks, but if it becomes just a duty, something on our to-do list, I think we've missed the value of it. It is to become our delight, something we meditate, we think about, and desire to spend time with. Now, some of you just get into the Word of God, and some of you have come to know the Lord in the last couple of years, and you've just kind of hit the ground running. You got into God's Word. It's kind of like, man, you just had this great appetite for God's Word. Okay? And there's some people that do. But other people, it's kind of like, it's like eating Brussels sprouts for the first time. And you have to kind of sometimes develop an appetite for them. Now, I remember when I went to Belize, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, I went to teach in Belize. And I got exposed to a few foods there that I really hadn't taken a liking to. One was avocados, okay? How many like avocados? All right, quite a few of you. You know what? It's not that I hated avocados, I just didn't like their green color, okay? And then guacamole on top of it is kind of like, you know, I just never tried it because I didn't like their color, you know? I grew up in North Dakota, they don't raise avocados up there, you know? I'm a meat and potatoes type of guy. You know, we don't want this avocado stuff. But I went to Belize, and you eat what they serve you there. And it was all good food there. But every morning they would serve us what? Avocado. And it wasn't these little dinky little avocados. It was like these big avocados, twice as big. It's kind of like they'd have them in slices. And the first day I ate some, I thought, not too bad. And by the end of those 2 weeks, I got kind of used to them. And I came back and I thought, man, I kind of like avocado, you know. And then I thought, well, maybe I should try guacamole. And it's kind of like, you know what? Guacamole's not too bad either. It goes pretty good with chips. And I developed a liking for it. Another thing that I hadn't tried when I was there is papaya. Now, how many of you probably had dry papaya? How many have had fresh papaya? Okay, a few of you. Okay, it's big down in Belize and in that area. Very good for you. It's just an incredible food for your stomach, they say. It just really provides a good, it helps tell your stomach, I guess, and health and, I don't know, whatever. It's good for your stomach. That's all they told me. And so we had papaya, and they would cut up and give it to us. And it has a little bit of a nutty, sweet flavor. It's a little bit of an interesting flavor, papaya. But I came to love it and enjoy it. But it took some time. You ever had a food like that where you'd never tried it, and you kind of, cilantro, the same thing. The first time I had salsa with cilantro in it, I was kind of like, I hated it. It's kind of like, give me the old, El Paso stuff, you know? Okay? And all of a sudden now, you can't have salsa without cilantro in it. And I love it. I think sometimes the Word of God can be like that within our own lives as well. Sometimes you think, man, I hate reading. I know some of you just love reading. And others of you don't. And that can be an obstacle of you getting into God's Word. But my challenge to you is expose yourself to God's Word. Get into God's Word. And over time, I believe it'll become your delight. And it's kind of like, you're going to get into God's Word and you can't put it down. It's going to be, oh man, I have to go back to work. Or I have to do this. I have to do this. But you're going to want to be in God's Word. So, make the Word of God your delight. All right? Number two, enjoy the benefits that come from God's Word. Now, the psalmist said he was like a tree planted by what? Streams of water. So if it was in times of drought, that tree was still bearing fruit. It was still healthy because it was by a water source. Now, as a believer in Christ, you're going to have good times where, man, life's just happening and it's all good. Okay? But you're also going to have times where you're going to be going through drought. And it's going to be difficult. But the person that is planted in the Word of God, it's going to be like a tree planted by streams of water. Your soul is always going to be nourished and satisfied with God. And so enjoy the benefits. The tree planted by streams of water. The psalmist was blessed by his time in the Word of God and his relationship with God. So, what are some of the benefits? I guess I had in here another illustration. There again, enjoy the benefits of God's Word. As you get into it, you're going to enjoy some benefits. Now, I don't know why I'm on a food kick here today for illustrations, but Another food that I had never given a try that I really wasn't in love with or really gave it a try was oatmeal. Okay, but I had a challenge by a pastor friend. He says, man, I have oatmeal, rolled oats every morning for breakfast. And it's kind of like, rolled oats, oatmeal? I mean, sounded kind of boring. But I gave it a try, and I actually kind of fell in love with it. And, you know, I put some raisins in there and walnuts, okay? And it's kind of like, I can have that about every morning. Now, every once in a while, I go out in the men's group, and we have, eggs and sausage. And I'll have eggs and stuff every once in a while. But I'm okay with having oatmeal about every morning, right? Yeah, pretty much the same old thing every morning. It fills me up. It's good. I enjoy it. You know what? Barb, it's good, really. She's giving me this frowny look. Oatmeal, really? Okay, but what I found out in my 20s, in our first pastorate, in our 20s, I had cholesterol that was already over 200, okay? All right? Don't know why. Probably because of the way I ate. But I started eating this oatmeal just because, it was heard it was healthy for you and everything like that. Also, I began to notice, for the last 15 years or whatever, I haven't had cholesterol above 200. In fact, it's right up at that 160, 170 range. And it's not like I eat good otherwise, okay? I like a good steak. I like a lot of other things. But I think it's the only thing I can really contribute it to is that I have oatmeal about every day. And it's kind of, there's benefits to eating oatmeal. That's not my point. My point is that as we get God's word into our lives, there are benefits, right? Just as we eat the oatmeal and all of a sudden we like it, all of a sudden, man, there's other things that happen that are side effects of that. In the same way as we get into God's word, it's going to bless our life. So what are some of those things? I want us to look at Psalms 119. It is the longest chapter in your Bible. So if you're a trivia buff and you want to impress people that you know something, you can tell them that Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses or something like that. It is long. But of those 176 verses, how many of you think refer to the Word of God? Another trivia bite. How many of those verses of Psalms 119 refer to the Word of God? All of them. Every verse makes reference to God's Word, His statutes, His laws, His Word. Okay? Every one of them. So I want us to look at some of the benefits. Verses 9 and 11, let's look at some of these dividends that come as we get the Word of God into our life. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? And we can put woman in there too, okay? All right? We're not being exclusive here today. By living according to your Word. So how can we keep our way pure? By what? Living according to God's Word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your Word in my heart. Okay, I've put it in there, I'm meditating on it, that I might not sin against God. What is the first benefit of having the Word of God in our lives? I call it holiness. Okay, we sang about that today. But holiness, it is a byproduct of getting God's Word into our life. Now, we are constantly being inundated by our culture, by what we see on TV, by what we here at the workplace, by our friends, school, radio. It comes from all different ways. We're being inundated. And the only way that we can know what is right and wrong, the only way we can know the heart of God is to get into God's Word. Right? Now, they didn't have TV back then in the psalmist days, but they had other things. Their culture still influenced them. And the only way we can have a moral compass within our life is by getting God's Word into our life. It is a byproduct. As we get into God's Word, we know what God has to say of how we should live our lives. And I don't care who you are, we are all influenced by our culture. And unless that is counterbalanced, unless that is weighed out against the Word of God, we will all eventually lose our way. And our life will not line up with the Word of God. And so a byproduct of us getting into the Word of God is holiness. Number two. Secondly, Verses 24, 97 through 104 and 5. It says in verse 24, what does it say? It says, your statutes are my delight and they are my counselors. 97. I'm going to have to turn a page for that one. 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I don't know if that's the enemies that are ever with them or his commands. I think it's God's commands. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. There again, going back to the holiness. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, you ever been out in the pitch dark, trying to stumble your way along, and all of a sudden, man, you find that flashlight and you know where you're going? Yeah. It shows you where you need to step and where you need to go. Wisdom and guidance. Now, we get into our own lives, and I often hear people say, you know what, I don't know what I should do. And there are some things that we, you know, God, should I choose this or choose that? But there are some things that are very clear, that are very clear. See, God speaking. Yeah. That we are not to do. You know, I've had, as a pastor, you sometimes kind of shake your head. I don't want to use something that, but sometimes we wrestle with things that we shouldn't have to wrestle with. Because God's word is clear. It's our guidance. It's our wisdom. I remember dating a young lady. I didn't date many girls growing up. But the first one, I think it's maybe the second one. Something like that. She was a redhead. And only redhead I dated, I know that. And when I liked her, she didn't like me. Okay? It was one of those deals. But then at some point something happened, and all of a sudden she liked me. It was my junior year of high school. And so we started dating for a few months. And then my folks decided they're going to move up to Alaska. And so we moved up there. But I remember in the course of that, in my high school days, I knew God's word. I grew up in a very good family. And yet, I was in high school, and you know, my culture was just as secular as it is now. Things have changed. But I remember even some of my best friends who were, quote, Christians said, oh, man, you know, everybody else is sleeping with their girlfriend. You should do that, too. And I remember that being a very clear temptation. And all of a sudden, boom, we decided to move to Alaska. Maybe that was a God thing. We moved up to Alaska, and this young lady, we kind of rolled back and forth a little bit, and all of a sudden she ended up dating another guy, and about a year later I find out she's pregnant, has a child. And I just remember my one friend, he you know, says, yeah, you should just, you know, everybody else is sleeping with their girlfriend, you should do it. And that was it's kind of like, well, you know, you're at that stage in life, and the hormones are going, right? It's kind of like, man, what should I do? Well, when you know what God's word says, what does God's word say? Yeah. It's not an option. But we wrestle with things that we shouldn't be wrestling with because we don't know God's word or we're ignoring God's word in our lives. But see, God's word will give us guidance. It'll be a light unto our path so we know what to do and where we should walk. Verses 25, 28 and 81. I'm just pulling out a few of these. I'm not getting them all. What are some of the benefits? You could read through this whole chapter and glean even more than I'm going to pull out. I'm just randomly pulling some out here. He says in verse 25, I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. Verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 81, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I put my hope in your word. Another benefit of being in God's word is comfort and strength, right? Is strength. That's the one we want to go with, and then we're going to talk about comfort. But he is our strength, right? You ever gone to God's word and opened it up and think, wow, I needed to hear that today. It just refreshed me. It strengthened me. And, you know, as good as we can know God's word and even memorize it, you know, it's part of age. I don't know. It's just we forget stuff, right? But as we go back to God's word on a daily basis and get into God's word, it's kind of like, man, I needed to hear that today. And God speaks to us. I was Isaiah 40. I was in Lincoln yesterday coming back from Menards and our meeting up there, Josh and Karen and Andrea. But I heard that Lincoln Brewster song, Everlasting God, and it ends with what? His son Levi reading what passage? Isaiah chapter 40 is where it's found. And he says that, have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? Isaiah 40, 28. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even young people grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that was just a good encouraging word just for me at that moment, at that time. I thought, man, you know, I know that verse inside and out, and yet I just needed to hear it at that moment. Amen? Strength. Another dividend of being in God's word is comfort. Verse 76 talks about that. It says, and even the ones we just read, say, may the 76 says, may your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise of your servant. We all need times of comfort, whether it's times of grief and loss of a loved one. At times we need comfort for other reasons. But God has promised that he would be our ever-present help in time of trouble. And as we go to God's word, it is comfort to us. It reminds us of the promises of God. That God has said, you know what? Hey, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. That's God's word. Does it sometimes feel like he has? Absolutely. And that's why we need to go back to God's word and say, you know what? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, God, you're there. Even though I don't feel it, you're there. And you're walking with me. Just like the footprints in the sand, right? Okay? Remember that picture and the story behind it? Guy says, hey, look at God, you left me. There's only one, you know, set of footprints going through the sand. God says, hey, that's where I picked you up and carried you. We don't always sense God's presence, but he's there. But we need his word to remind us of his promises and that he is with us. Second to the last one is knowledge of God. And I didn't write a reference there, but because this whole psalm talks about it. But the knowledge of God, it's as we go into God's word that we know about him, we know his character, we know his attributes, we understand who God is. It's through reading his word, right? It's through that we come to know God and know what he expects of us. But we come to know him through his word. And verse 35 is the last one. It says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. And the last one there is just joy. I think there's a lot of joy that comes as we get ourselves into the Word of God. Delight yourself in the Word of God. The psalmist, it was his delight. Man, you look at that whole chapter, and you look at how many times delight is there, at least in the NIV, it's there. Boom, 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 boom. He goes, I delight. And so the question is, do you delight in the Word of God in your own life? Develop that appetite for God's word. And then secondly, or I guess it's the third point. So my first point is what? Delight yourself in the word of God, right? All right, and then enjoy the benefits of God's word, number two. Number three is find a system that works for you. Now there's many ways, there's that phrase, there's more than one way to skin the cat. You know, I've never found that out, but find a system that works for you, okay? Find a system that works for you. Now, you can read, there's just a lot of ways. You can read through the Bible in a year, okay? That's a common one. But you know what? You can read through the Bible in a year in a lot of different ways, all right? You can go chronologically, which tries to put the Bible in chronological order, okay? It's not written. The Bible's not put together in chronological order. I don't know if you figured that out or not, but it doesn't. So they put it, you can put it in chronological order, okay? So you can read through it that way, beginning to the end. All right, you can just read it, start in Genesis and read all the way through it, all the way to Revelation. You can do it that way, okay? You can read it where you read an Old Testament chapter and read a psalm, a proverb, a gospel, an epistle of Paul's in the New Testament. You could do it that way. There's a lot of different ways you can read through the Bible, and you can find a system that works for you. And I don't know what system will work for you, only you do. But find a system that works for you. Now with smartphones, I mean, how many got your smartphones? Okay. I don't care if you use your smartphone, if you're using it as your Bible, okay? Now if you're texting your friend, that's not a good thing. But, all right? But if, you know, and if you have the Life Bible on there from Life Church, you know, you can go to that application here, and you can bring that up. Okay, yep, all right, okay, yep, all right. You can bring that up, and, you know, you got your YouVersion there, all right? And you can even click Start Plans. So see, it's right on there, Start Plans. Browse Plans, all right? You can go Topical, you can go Featured, Devotional, Partial, Whole Bible, Youth, Family. Just look at how many plans are there. And it'll actually send you reminders, hey, you need to read your Bible today. And it'll get you on. That's one of the ways you can do it. There's other, you can go on the internet and download plans to read the Bible. Find a system that works for you, that connects with you. Don't make it too complicated. And so there's some points underneath that third point. First of all, find a Bible that you enjoy. All right, and I've every once in a while I'll share this, but find a Bible you enjoy. What does that involve? Well, first of all, I don't know, find one that you like to, I mean, like the color of, okay? I mean, find, you know, I don't know, if you like camouflage, okay, get camel. Camel's in right now, so get camouflage. You know, if you like NFL football, they even make Bibles that have your favorite team's colors on there. You can do that. If you want a pink Bible, get a pink Bible. You know, whatever the case may be, but get a Bible. You like how it looks. Probably even more importantly is that it has big enough font for you, okay? You know, if you have to really squint and get in there and it's difficult to read, guess what? You're probably not going to read it as much as if it's easy to read. Now, there's a thing called white space. You know what white space is? Just the spacing and the margins. If you have more white space in your Bible, guess what? It's easier to read. It's less strainful on your eyes. So find one that has some good white space and has a big enough font for you. Find a good translation. Okay? Some of you grew up on the King James Version, and it is easy to memorize, but you may not understand what you just memorized. Okay? And it may work for a lot of you, but it may not. Okay? But there's some really good translations out there. The NIV, and NIV is probably going... It's starting to lose some traction to other good translations out there. The ESV, English Standard Version, the New Living Translation is an excellent one. And it's just very understandable for our generation and our culture. These words that we use now, okay? King James was written during King James time, so he uses words that we no longer use, okay? We don't go around saying thou, theest, and doesest. We don't do that, okay? But find a translation that that works for you. I've even, I preach out of the NIV, and I kind of grew up on that translation. But just to mix it up, I'll for my devotional time, I'll read the Bible out of a different translation, just so that I get a different angle on things. And Most of the translations today are pretty close, but they do say a few things sometimes differently. So the New Living Translation is one that I really enjoy reading out over the ESV. If you got an electronic version, I still like a hard copy, but I still read out of my Bible, okay? I can be up in the tree stand, I can be in my blind, and I can, there's my Bible right there. And if there's no deer activity, I can still be scrolling through, reading my Bible. If I'm waiting at the doctor's office, I don't have to bring my Bible with me, it's right here, and I can just pass the time reading God's Word. And the nice thing about that is I can choose the translation, I can choose the font size, I can choose it all right there. It's there with me. Now, if you don't have Wi-Fi, sometimes you have to make sure you download your translation. But find a Bible you enjoy. There's so many options today, you don't have any excuse. You don't. And you go back to church history, and so much of church history, they didn't have their own copy of God's Word. How did they hear God's Word? How did they know God's Word? How did they have to get it? They had to go to the temple, or they had to go to church to hear God's Word. But they didn't have their own personal copy. And in our day and age, you have the Gutenberg Press that came out, and all of a sudden, now and translations, and now the Word of God, not only the Word of God, the Bible, but now all books became easy to reproduce, cost effective. Before that, if you wanted a copy of God's Word, you had to get a scroll, and that would take many, many man hours, and it was too expensive for somebody to have their own scroll. But now we live in a wonderful day and age where it is so accessible. And yet, do we take advantage of God's Word in our lives? Find a plan that works for you. Find a Bible you enjoy. I'm going to have the musicians come. You know, if you're sitting down to a meal for the first time to feast on God's Word, don't start in Leviticus. Okay? That's Joe's favorite book of the Bible. There's good things in Leviticus, but save that for down the road, okay? Start in the Gospel of John. It's a good book. After you get that, gone through that, then read through the New Testament. Get that into your heart and soul. And then bring in some Proverbs and Psalms and venture into the rest of the Old Testament. But develop an appetite for God's Word. It's a well that can refresh your heart and your soul. And see what happens, folks, is there's some of us that probably just love God's Word, and any moment we have, we're rereading God's Word. We have a copy of it open, and we're reading. But that's not a lot of us, honestly. And I'm all for disciplines, having those routines in our life. Sometimes we have to do that just to make it happen. But that's a fine line, because it can easily get into something that I have to do instead of something that I get to do. But everybody knows, even in married life, you know, when you're dating, it's so easy to say, hey, we're going to go out tonight, we're going to go to the movie, we're going to go get a bite to eat. But all of a sudden you get into married life, you start having kids, and then what happens? When's the last time you went out on a date? Sometimes it can be a while, because we just get caught up in life. That's what happens with God. We get caught up in life, and it's not that we don't love Him, but we just, the busyness of life, we forget, one, to worship God, and secondly, to get into God's Word. And we can go so long, we can run so long that way, and all of a sudden, whew, all of a sudden we get to that place where we're empty, we're dry, and there's nothing left. Why? Because the wells to connect with God we're not utilizing. But if we utilize the wells that God has put in place of worship and God's word, guess what? We're like that tree planted by the streams of water that doesn't wilt, that's always productive, that's always fruitful. And the busier life is, the more you need to be tapped into that source, into that well. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? And would you just make this your prayer? And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit just that He would come and speak to each of us individually here this morning. And He knows where each of you is at. I don't. But He knows your number. He knows where you're at. Would you just spend these few minutes?